You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history, the stories behind one of our local destinations. I'll give you a few hints, Jeff.
Okay.
Flour mill, prairie, water falling twice.
Oh, okay.
Where the buffalo roam.
Well, first of all, the answer is obviously Minneopa State Park.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, I don't want to tout my knowledge, but it's called American Plains Bison. They're actually not buffalo.
I know. Thank you very much for pointing that out, but that's not how the song goes.
Oh, we're going after the song. That's
yes,
my bad.
Yes. So, yes, today.
We're the American Plains Bison Roam.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So, but we will explore that distinction later, I promise. So, yes, I'm sure everyone listening is very familiar with Minneopa State Park and, of course, the beautiful waterfalls. But did you know there once was a town near the falls?
I did not know that.
Or that the falls were a destination as far back as recorded history. So today we will explore the history of a local destination right in our backyard, Minneopa State Park. Let's jump in and be surrounded by history. So the word Minneopa, or originally pronounced Mini-Iniopa, is derived...
Mini-Audiopa?
No, Mini-Iniopa.
Falls became a thing for a belly button. I don't know why. All right, sorry.
That's okay. Is derived from the Dakota language, is interpreted to mean water falling twice.
Okay.
Referring to the beautiful waterfalls of the Minneopa Creek. The waters of the Minneopa Creek collected from the overflow of Lily, Crystal, and Loon Lakes fall twice here, dropping about 6 feet as they go over the upper falls and plummeting 40 feet into a natural rock basin at the lower falls before flowing into the Minnesota River. The first business catering to visitors of Minneopa Falls was the Minneopa Park Hotel, opening in 1858 by Minor Porter. It was a beautiful part of this area, beautiful resort. He planted trees and flowers and made walking paths for people to enjoy the land around the falls. The hotel and grounds became the site of the first Blue Earth County Fair in 1859.
Wow. Okay, hold on. May I?
Sure.
So 1852, we became a city.
Yes.
By 1859, we're having county fairs out by the falls.
Yes.
The part that always I have an interesting time wrapping my head around is the fact that we aren't really mobile, but yet
right.
we're going all over the place
right.
at the same time.
Right.
Like, it's not that far to Minneopa. I get that. But not everybody has a horse.
Nope.
Nobody can get out there.
Nope. You're right.
That's just, it's okay. I thought it's just like, within 7 years, we're having county fairs.
I appreciate that you have an understanding of the time period and that how big of a deal this is.
Yeah.
That, you know, we literally are an infant county, an infant city, and there is already a visitor's retreat happening right in our backyard. All
yeah,
right.
Crazy. Okay.
Crazy. Okay. So the first Blue Earth County Fair was in 1859, but the next year it moved to Garden City, where it has continuously been held. And we're going to talk about that in another podcast.
So like for 160 years already?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So around the same time as the Minneopa Park Hotel, a large Pioneer windmill was being constructed a few miles away from the falls. This might sound a little familiar.
We've done this one before.
We have talked about this in a previous podcast. In the early 1860s, Louis Settman built his windmill after those used in his native Germany. The mill was completed in 1864 and in a favorable wind could grind daily 150 bushels of wheat into flour. The windmill was struck by natural calamities, including lightning and a tornado. And after the tornado struck in 1890, the windmill's arms were not replaced because mills of this size had become unprofitable to operate. This German-style mill is a rare example of wind-powered grain milling. You can learn much more about Louis Settman and the construction of the mill in a previous podcast, but I promise we'll come back to this topic again very soon. back to Minneopa Falls.
All right.
Okay. In 1868, the St. Paul and Sioux City Railroad extended their line from Mankato to Lake Crystal and built a depot and grain elevator on property owned by D.C. Evans. Remember that name. At Minneopa Falls. The town site of Minneopa was laid out in 1870 with a hotel, a store, blacksmith shop, and lumber yard were soon being built. The town thrived on the business drawn by the falls as large excursions came to picnic there and to attend camp meetings held during the summer season, especially after Evans constructed a footbridge over the creek and steps down to the gorge at the base of the falls. The depot agent, J.B. Hodge, also believed in the falls' potential, convincing the railroad to have four trains going to the park each summer day. So there's your answer of how are they getting out there?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, grasshoppers destroyed most of the crops grown between the 1873 to 1878. This was known as the grasshopper plague. The visitors stopped coming, and the town of Minneopa gradually faded from existence.
All right. Now, quickly, where is that footprint at for that town? Is it on top of the hill where the cemetery's at?
Nope, not quite there. It's okay. Still going to be closer to the falls.
Closer to the falls still.
Yep.
Going from Mankato, out past where the park ranger's office is? That direction?
It's going to be really
I need answers.
I know. At the base of where the road that connects the fall side and the prairie side.
Okay.
And that's where the cemetery is. Kind of at that base on the fall side. There's no sign of it really anymore because of the highway.
Got you.
Okay?
Got you. Okay.
But you still see the railroad tracks.
Yes, the tracks are still there.
And that puts you where the town is.
Well, the town is right there.
Okay.
Noted.
Okay, so back to Minneopa Falls. This property passed through a succession of owners after D.C. Evans, I'd mentioned him before, mm-hmm. he sold the property in 1885. So short little period of time that we have this little community of Minneopa. But while the falls continue to be a popular destination, each private development went out of business, like Minor Porter's Hotel only lasted a few years, and then D.C. Evans, the town only lasted a few years. So by 1903, the latest owner was considering simply clear-cutting the glen and pasturing cattle in it. So local citizens concerned about losing access to the falls organized to advocate for a public park instead. So in 1905, Ezra Gates, a Blue Earth County legislator, introduced a bill to make Minneopa Falls the third state park in Minnesota. He also asked for funding to purchase and develop the land around the falls. The bill passed, and over the next 2 years, 70 acres of land was purchased from Edwin Buck and improvements made to it. The park's first superintendent, J.B. Hodge, does that name sound familiar?
The railroad guy or somebody, wasn't he?
He was the railroad agent who had done so much to promote the park from the start. He became the first park superintendent.
Nice.
With state funding, he was able to improve safety and access to the gorge, replacing the wooden stairs with cement steps, and installing a railing, netting, and picnic tables. Over the next decades, other developments include a bridge into the park, a refreshment stand, a large picnic shelter, and stabilization of waterfalls. A concrete footbridge was constructed over the upper falls in 1921. In 1927, the head of the park's advisory board planted an orchard of black walnut trees, thinking nut sales could be a source of funding for the park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He only informed the state of Minnesota after he had already done so.
Oh.
And this grove of black walnut trees is still out at Minneopa State Park on the falls side. It's kind of where the parking is when you go to the falls.
Got you.
That's all those black walnut trees.
That is all walnuts out there. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yep. By 1929, back to Setman Mill, by 1929, the mill that was built in 1864 was in danger of collapse. The Setman family, proud of the legacy of the mill and realizing that they did not have the resources to repair it, decided the best route would be to donate it to the Blue Earth County Historical Society. On May 11th, 1929, it was deeded over to the Historical Society along with a little over 1 acre. The next year, the Historical Society replaced the roof, along with some wall repairs to stabilize it. On April 15, 1931, the mill was deeded to the state of Minnesota and Minneopa State Park. The mill was on land a mile northwest, not yet connected to the park. These, along with other improvements, helped the park grow. However, as you can imagine, the Great Depression stopped work for several years. Mm-hmm. Soon after, however, teams of men from the Works Progress Administration came to Minneopa. From 1937 to 1940, young men improved the falls area with new stairs, a picnic shelter, restrooms, maintenance building, and other structures, all built from local sandstone. A 58-acre historic district encompassing all seven of these enduring WPA structures is on the National Register of Historic Places.
Pretty cool. Also, fun fact, that means the stairs were replaced three times in just, 40 years, whatever.
There you go.
Meanwhile, they have not been replaced since. I didn't want to say it, you know, bad. I was saying it's interesting.
All right, so we're going to take a little detour.
Okay.
Okay, from the park itself, and we're going to go back. We talked a little bit about the cemetery before.
Yeah.
But we're going to make a stop at the historic Minneopa Cemetery because it has an important part that plays in the park as well.
Okay.
So the cemetery is located between the falls side and the prairie side of Minneopa State Park. The cemetery started out as a Welsh cemetery and was owned by South Bend Township. The first burial was recorded in 1855. So this goes back to about that same. This is actually before that hotel was built
right.
by Minor Porter. Okay. So soon after the Welsh began settling in this area of Blue Earth County, the land was first owned by D.C. Evans. Should recognize that name, who gave the land to be a burial ground. And as we learned earlier, he was the gentleman that plotted the land for the town site of Minneopa.
Okay.
In 1902, the railroad wanted to straighten out an S-curve, and so they purchased several cemetery lots and cut into the bluff. In 1908, heavy rains caused a landslide on the bluff, and the railroad had altered. Part of the cemetery was washed away, along with a few bodies.
Ooh.
Needless to say, this was not well received, and the railroad paid $6,000 for the cemetery damage. However, because the cemetery was part of South Bend Township, the money was given to them and not the cemetery. Only about $200 of the $6,000 was used to repair the cemetery. This caused bad feelings among the early settlers, which eventually led to the cemetery separating from the township in 1917, and the cemetery became a separate organization. Over the years, it became obvious that the cemetery would need more space. So in 1946, the cemetery and Minneopa Park exchanged land across the road from the cemetery with land adjacent to Minneopa State Park. So they both owned parcels of land and they basically swapped them.
Okay.
It took nearly 9 years to prepare the new cemetery for burial. The first burial was in 1955, 100 years after the first burial in the original cemetery.
Wow.
The historic Minneopa Cemetery is known as the oldest continuously operating cemetery in Blue Earth County.
Wow.
Okay.
I've only drove by that cemetery, and that's it. But it must be incredible to look at.
There's a lot of incredible history out there, and if you want to learn more, you should check out the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Okay, so back to the park. Do you like how I slugged that in there?
I was going to say something, but I didn't know if you wanted me to be like, wow, that was smooth.
Well, let's go back to the park. Okay, so while the WPA had helped and additional land acquired from the cemetery, all of that stuff helped to make the park grow, it was still a fairly small state park, and had no campground, and it attracted really only primary residents. But the 1960s, Minnesota was transferring many of these small parks to city or county management. Minneopa needed to expand in order to stay a state park. The locals once again rallied, and in 1967, the state secured funds and a federal grant to expand. The addition, purchased mostly from Setman Ayers, included Lower Minneopa Creek and 3 miles of Minnesota River Shore, and finally connected the Setman Mill parcel with the rest of the park. The new land was soon developed with a campground, picnic area, and a road to the mill, all dedicated in 1972. Over the next 5 years, volunteers made hiking and skiing trails. There is no trail along the river itself, as each attempt was met with flooding. Over the years, additional land acquisitions have occurred, bringing today's Miniopa State Park to over 2,600 acres of land.
Wow. Hey, we have more of this, right?
We have a lot more. We'll just take a little break.
Sounds good. We'll come right back with more about Miniopa State Park.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today, we're talking about Miniopa State Park. And, of course, we need to talk about the bison.
Or the American Plains Bison.
Thank you very much. Of course, the big news recently was the addition or reintroduction of American Plains Bison to Miniopa State Park Prairie in 2015. I say reintroduction for two reasons. First, there is a recorded history from early explorers that bison roamed here in great numbers. According to the journals of French explorer Pierre Charles Le Sueur, around 1700, the explorers ate 400 buffalo that first year.
Dang.
And secondly, there were bison at Sibley Park Zoo prior to 1965. These animals were moved to Blue Mound State Park after the 1965 flood, which is another one of our previous podcasts.
After we keep reading all these podcasts, it's interesting to see how everything starts to connect, right?
I know, I love it. At that time, an agreement was signed between the city of Mankato and the DNR that an attempt would be made to bring bison back to the Mankato area someday. Okay, so let's clear this up. Buffalo or bison? In North America, both words are used by different people to talk about the same animal,
okay,
which causes a lot of confusion. Biologists like to use the word bison. There is also a totally different animal called a buffalo that lives in Africa and Asia. Early French explorers called the North American animals les bœufs. There you go. That's how much you get of my French, which means oxen or cow. The name evolved from bœuf with many variations to finally buffalo. The word buffalo is widely used by people. It is not wrong, but is less descriptive to a biologist. The most descriptive name for the animals living in the Minnesota Bison Conservation Herd at Miniopa State Park is the American Plains Bison.
Told you.
Yep, I know. So the Minnesota Bison Conservation Herd has been a formal agreement between the Minnesota DNR and the Minnesota Zoo since 2012. The Minnesota Zoo manages the genetic data about the herd, provides technical assistance regarding bison management, and hosts several bison on site at the zoo as part of the Minnesota's Greater Conservation Herd. These partners are working cooperatively to preserve American Plains bison with healthy genetics and conserve other prairie wildlife species native to Minnesota. Currently, the herd has approximately 130 bison at three different sites: Blue Mound State Park, Miniopa State Park, and the Minnesota Zoo. Eventually, the herd will grow to a 500-animal population occupying several locations. Genetic testing of the herd from 2011 to 2014 found them largely free of any genetic material that would have come from crossbreeding with cattle. This makes them a rare among modern bison. Miniopa State Park manages 330 acres of prairie land for the bison range. In September 2015, 11 females, three of which were pregnant, came to Miniopa, some from Blue Mound State Park, others from the Minnesota Zoo. In December 2016, a bull arrived from the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. There is only one adult bull or male living at Miniopa. In several years, a new bull from a different herd will be introduced. They'll kind of swap them out. Miniopa currently has 32 adults and 12 calves that were born this spring.
Oh, wow.
For a total of 44 bison at the park.
That one bull's kind of busy.
Miniopa State Park attendance has gone from the middle of the pack of the 70 state parks before the bison to now being in the top 10 for visitor attraction. Miniopa State Park consists of 2,600 acres. The southern, smaller section of the park includes Miniopa Falls, picnic areas, miles of walking, hiking trails, and, of course, the historic WPA structures. The northern section borders the Minnesota River and includes the drive-through bison range, historic Setman Mill, and camping facilities with 61 sites, six of them with electrical hookups. There are also four group camps, each accommodating up to 15 people, and a camper cabin plus picnic areas. Today, the campground is near or at capacity for the entire summer. From a prairie oasis to a tiny town, Miniopa and Miniopa State Park has an interesting history. It has come so far from simply being a beautiful example of water falling twice. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored the rich history of a true local destination in our own backyard, Miniopa State Park. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.